We're going to learn a Maimer, a Hasidic discourse by the Rebbe. This Maimer, this Hasidic discourse was pronounced Tovshin Choftes. That would be 1968 in Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is one of the most happy, so to speak, events in the Jewish calendar, in the Jewish year. It's the end of all the festivities of Tishrei, of the seventh month, full of mitzvahs, full of nice days, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, etc., etc. So this particular Maimer was mentioned, was pronounced in this day. It touches upon ideas that touch Bnei Noach, so to speak. So let's go and see how the Rebbe explains. The verse says, actually Simchas Torah, I should explain this before, Simchas Torah is the end of these old festivities, as I mentioned, but the truth is, it would be like the second day of Shmini Atzeres. The truth is, the festivity is called Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day. But it's a festivity in itself, and Simchas Torah is just the second day of this festivity. So the verse says in the Torah, "Biyom Shmini Atzeres Tiyelachem." In the eighth day, you will have Atzeres. The normal translation of Atzeres would be refrain from work. You will refrain from work. Isa b'medresh. That in the Midrash, our sages explain on this, although it exists, this is why it's written, "You lechol levadcho vein lezarim itach." This festivity is going to be just for you. This is actually a verse in Mishlei, in Proverbs. This is going to be just for you and not for strangers that are with you. This is what the verse says. And the Midrash says on this verse, our sages explain on this verse, the Midrash brings, so the Rebbe is explaining the Midrash brings many commandments, mitzvot, that are just for Jews, because it says, lachem, for you. That means, this is for you, not for anybody else. Now the Rebbe is asking a question, we have to understand, what's the novelty, what's the virtue, so to speak. What's so special about the commandments that are expressed in the Torah with the word for you? Like, every commandment is for the Jews. What are you talking about? No, this one is for you. What do you mean? Aloi kol ha-mitzvot nitnu l'Yisrael davke. Isn't it that all the commandments were given to the Jews? Specifically for the Jews. Kemo shekosuv, as it's written, Magid dvaro le-Yakov, chukam mishpat v'l'Yisrael, lo yosachem l'chol goy. The verse says in Psalms, that God gives his words to Yaakov, his rules, his laws, whatever, to Israel. Same thing, just poetic. And he did not do this for every single nation. So what's the novelty over here? Now this one is for you. Of course it's for us. Uleidach gisa. On the other hand, we have to understand why is it written in the eighth day regarding this particular festivity. You will refrain from work. For you, Atzeres Tielachem, it will be for you a day of refraining from work. Like a strange translation, but this is what it actually means. What's the problem? The Chiyiro Matzinu Bishmini Atzeres Inyan Sheshayach Loirak LeYisrael Elagam LeUmo Yisoelam. Apparently, we find in this particular festivity, Shmini Atzeres, something that is not just for Jews, but also for the nations of the world. So, wait a second. On one hand, you tell me all the commandments that are for Jews. So yeah, I have to understand, why is it written for you? On the other hand, why is it written for you? Because it has some things for not for you also. So what do you mean, for me only? It's also for non-Jews. What's the thing in Shmini Atzeres for non-Jews? The fact that rain falls, when rain falls in the world, so to speak, it's not just for Jews. I mean, rain falls for everybody. So I don't understand. The Hine, now, Isab Medrash. It's written in the Midrash. Akum Echad, Akum means Oivet Koichavi Umazalis, an idolater. We're talking, Midrash was written around year 200, 250 of the Common Era. So we're really talking about real pagans, basically. That's what it means. So one of these guys, Shoal, he made a question. He asked the question, "Atem yesh lachem moyadois V'anu yesh lanu moyadais. He said like this to a Jew, so to some Jew. I don't know the exact version of the Midrash. The Rebbe doesn't quote the whole thing. I suppose, actually, I know that since it's not important, the whole thing, that's why the Rebbe is not quoting everything. But whatever, probably says the name of the rabbi. I don't know. So this guy asked like this. This non-Jew asked like this. He was a pagan. For you, yes, you have festivities. And we also have festivities. B'sha'a shatem smeichim, einanu smeichim. When you are happy, we are not happy. When we are happy, you are not happy. And then the Rebbe brings in the brackets. As it's written, it's explained in Maseches Avodah Zarah, in the Talmud itself, it's explained the way, how do we have to behave in their parties, in their festivities, religious festivities, etc., etc. It's not the point of the Maimar, of course, of the discourse to explain all the details, what do we do, etc. But the point is, the Midrash continues. Clearly, when we Jews have a festivity, non-Jews don't have a festivity. And the same thing happens the other way around. When non-Jews have a festivity, Jews are not partying, are not having any party. When is it, asks the Midrash, then you and I and us are altogether happy? Something common for both. Omar lei, so the rabbi answered, ze yem yiridas geshamim. That's when the rain falls. Everybody's happy, Jews and non-Jews. My taima, what's the reason everybody's happy? So he brings over here a Tehillim, which is a very difficult verse to translate. It's a really difficult one. Lov shu karim atzoin, v'amakim yatfuvar, yisroa uav yashiru. Simple translation, believe me, this is a tough one, but simple translation, I have to see if I can say it in English. In Spanish it's difficult. So it means something like this. Many, many sheep, that's tzon. Karim means a lot. Lavshu means got dressed. So all the sheep got, many, many sheep got dressed with wool on them. You know, they are full of wool, so you can go cut them and make money, make clothes, whatever. You can cut the wool because they're full with wool. V'amakim, and the valleys, ya'at fuvar. They got full of produce in the fields. All the fields that usually are valleys, because it's easier to use a valley than a mountain to put product, whatever. They got full of product. Yisro'ahu, they make noise. What does that mean, they make noise? When the wind blows and you have wheat that is really mature in the fields, it sounds like they're making noise when the wind blows. One way, the other way. Af yashiru, it even sounds like singing. It's apparently they're singing. You know, the wheat is singing in the fields. That's what it's saying. What's written after this verse? Hariyu lelakim kol ha'aretz. Should sing and raise the voice to God, to the Lord, all the land, all the earth. What does that mean? That the earth is singing to God? No, all the people of the earth are singing to God. So why are they singing? Clearly, because there's a lot of produce over there. The sheep has wool, and the fields are full of product, so we're happy. Why? Because it rained. So everybody's happy with rain. Behine, now. Hamshachad yiridas geshamim v'shmini atzeres. It's written in the Talmud that this projection of rain, this falling rain, it's actually done, so to speak, in Shmini Atzeres. Even though not necessarily rains, it doesn't mean that it rains in Shmini Atzeres. It means that the judgment on water throughout the year is actually in Shmini Atzeres. And again, that's for everybody, for Jews and non-Jews. Sheboy mispalerim umevarchim ala geshamin sheyu levracha. In that particular holiday, we pray and we bless, we make blessings for the rain that they should fall for blessing. Lechaim ulesoiva, they should fall for life, they should fall for, soiva means when you have a lot, when you have bounty, whatever, well, you have a lot. Ve'ilu hageshem shiyorn lifnei shmini atzeres, einam gishme bracha. However, when the rain falls before shmini atzeres, he's talking about the land of Israel, of course, it's not really a blessing. like in the middle of the summer, you don't want rain. You actually want a lot of sun in the fields to dry the product of the wheat, etc., etc. So afterwards, you put it inside the place where you actually store the grain, etc., and then you sell it, whatever. But if it rains in the middle of the summer, actually, in Israel, never rains in the middle of the summer. That's the signal that it's not a bracha, it's not a blessing. So when is it a blessing? From Shmini Atzeres on, from autumn, so to speak, on. Kivan sheshmini atzeres hu yom yeridat geshamim shekulam anu ve'atem smeichim boy. And because Shmini Atzeres is the day, so to speak, quote unquote, that starts raining, everybody's happy in this day. Tzarich lehovin, we have to understand. Ma'u ha'inyan shenemar b'yom ha'shmini atzeres tiyeh lachem. Why is it written that Shmini Atzeres is going to be for us, for Jews? It's going to be just for you and not for the strangers with you. Point. This is chapter 1. And again, the Rebbe is basically asking a double question. On one hand, we know mitzvahs are just for Jews. Very nice, we got it. And therefore, we have to understand why is the Midrash, why our sages are so precise, so to speak, to say, oh, look, it's saying that this mitzvah is for you. Yeah, it's for you and nobody else. We know that. All the mitzvahs are just for us. And on the other hand, if all the mitzvahs are just for us, why do we find in Shmini Atzeres that it says for us, and particularly this mitzvah is for everybody? Because it has the whole thing of rain that is for everybody, and everybody's happy. And it's not just an idea that the Rebbe is saying, yeah, everybody's happy. He brought a midrash. The same midrash that says this is just for Jews says everybody's happy, Jews and non-Jews, because there's rain. So what are you doing? What does it mean? these are the questions. Base. Second chapter. The idea over here is like this. The Hine. Now, even though in general, the whole idea of Torah, learning Torah, etc., and mitzvahs, commandments, were given to the Jews, precisely the Jews, and not the nations of the world, as we explained before. Yiseira mizeh, moreover, shekiyuma Torah mitzvahs hu hepech ha-metzius de umos ha-olam. The fulfillment of commandments is the opposite to the existence, to the entity of nations of the world. What are you saying? Kemay marazal, as we say, our sages say in the Talmud, Okum sheshobas chayav misa. Okum sheisek b'atayra chayav misa. A non-Jew that keeps Shabbos, seventh day, whatever, has to have a death penalty. It's a celestial, whatever. It's a godly death penalty. We don't do anything. It's just God taking care of this person, whatever that means. So we see clearly they cannot keep Shabbos. And then the Rebbe brings another part of the Talmud, and the Rambam brings this also, of course. A non-Jew that learns Torah also has a godly death penalty. So again, not only that the commandments were given for Jews, they're really opposite of non-Jews. If the non-Jew starts doing it, he receives the punishment from God. It's opposite his own existence. Mikol makem, however, yeshmitz v'sheshayachiz gam l'umos ha'olam. There are certain commandments that also have a relationship with non-Jews. It's not like black and white, nothing or everything. No. It doesn't work like that. Behem sheva mitzvot bnei noyach. Which are these commandments? The seven commandments given to bnei noyach, the children of noyach. Koilel gama eisek b'toira. Look at these words, very strong. This includes the eisek. Eisek is a way of learning with deepness. Otherwise, it would say limud ha-toira. Like learning, okay, go read the book. Yeah, I'm learning, whatever. Go read the newspaper. Yeah, I'm learning. No. Eisek ha-toira means you're really working on this. So, again, we have seven mitzvahs de bnei noyach, seven commandments given to the children of noyach. This includes deep learning of Torah. Behalachos ois, behilchos ois and sheva mitzvahs, liyos bekin bahen. Look at the Rebbe is like very... stressing many, many times the same idea. You have to learn those the laws of those seven commandments, and you have to be expert on them. Not just saying, yeah, I read it once in my life, I know. No. You have to be an expert. Shalze Amru Razal, on this our sages said, Shafilu oyved koichavim ve'isek batoira, even if you're talking about an idolater, like real idolater, and he is oisek, learns with deepness. Toira bemitzvah didu, the Rebbe adds, in parentheses, very interesting. According to their commandments, but it's in parentheses. It's a very interesting thing. The Rebbe should have said it, apparently, I'm not the Rebbe, of course. The Rebbe should have said, this is part of the Talmud itself. These words come from the Talmud, that when is a non-Jew called like a high priest, as the Rebbe is going to say, quote, in a second, when he's learning the seven commandments. But the Rebbe put it into parentheses. I don't know why. He shouldn't have put the parentheses. Just say it like that. The parentheses over there, I don't know. Could mean many things. I don't know. The truth is, again, I repeat it. I'm not the Rebbe. I don't know what he meant. But it means, like, go learn Torah. So a non-Jew, and he quotes this particular version of the Talmud, as mentioned many times. People don't know about this, but the Talmud itself went through many stages of censorship throughout ages. Talmud was finished around 450 of Common Era. Rav Ashi, Ravina, then other rabbis, Rabbanon Savoirai, whatever. And when it was closed, nobody knows the real original version of certain words, certain places. Most of it, yes, it's known. But certain words, certain expressions, we don't know. Why? Because the non-Jews didn't like when the Jews started talking about the non-Jews. In any case, sometimes Christianity, and sometimes not even mentioning Christianity, but they thought they were talking about them, so they didn't like it, and they started changing things. Otherwise, burn the whole thing. So Jews said, okay, you know what? I don't care. Put whatever you want. You want to say pagan, say pagan. You want to say non-Jew, say non-Jew. You want to say Christian. I don't care. But let me learn my Torah. Don't burn me my books, so to speak. So again, the Rebbe over here is choosing a very, very precise version of the Talmud. It's Oyved Koichovim, an idolater. He could have said Nochri, non-Jew. He could have said Ben Noyach. No, idolater. An idolater is deeply learning Torah in his commandments, seven commandments, Huke Kohen Gadol. It's like a high priest. So we see that they do have some relationship to Torah. Not just, again, black and white. No Torah, no. Wait a second. He's like a high priest. And this also has a relationship with the Torah and the commandments as they are for the Jews. Why? Like, you're a non-Jew, go learn, I don't care what you do. No. This has a relationship with Jews also. I do care. Why? Like the Rambam writes, the Rambam writes that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us from the mouth of God to force, that's the word, to force all the people of the world. Called by Oila means everybody. Jews and non-Jews, everybody. Of course, talking about non-Jews, but means everybody. Lekabel mitzvot shenistavu b'nei noach, to accept the commandments that were given to b'nei noach, to non-Jews. So it's not just an issue for non-Jews. Like, again, go learn Torah, don't bother me. No. It's also for Jews. V'yoyt zois, moreover, says the Rebbe, the non-Jews, Bnei Noach, have to keep, see that Rebbe doesn't say Akum now, doesn't say Oyved Kichovim, idolater. Now he's talking about Bnei Noach. He's going further, like in Kedusha, in sanctity, so to speak. Bnei Noach have themselves, they have to keep these commandments because Tziva Bayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu BaTorah. This is the language of the Rambam. Because God himself said, commanded this in the Torah, and he told us, he let us know to the Jews, through Moshe Rabbeinu, etc. So what's the reason why a non-Jew should keep the Torah? Because the the Jewish Torah says that non-Jews have to keep the Torah. In other words, this is the message of the Judaism for non-Jews. It's not something like separated from Torah. Like, there's a Torah for Jews. We learn a lot of very interesting things. Non-Jews? Yeah, I don't know. Well, go learn something. No. It's one Torah. It's one thing. Has a message for Jews, message for non-Jews. And the Jews are, in the language of the Rambam, are commanded to force non-Jews to take these commandments and learn them, of course. Nimtza comes out. Sheyesh b'Torah mitzvos inyan shesheyach gam l'umos ha'olam. There's in the Torah, and there are mitzvahs, commandments from God that have a relationship with the nations of the world. V'yesh inyan shesheyach rak libnei Yisrael v'lo l'umos ha'olam. And there are certain things that are only for Jews and not for the nations of the world. Uveinyan ze, and within this thing itself, not only that we do not force non-Jews to accept the whole 613 things, whatever they are. No. We don't force. Not only that, moreover, we don't let them do them. If you see note 14, he's quoting the Rambam. The same thing. That he, like the same place where the Rambam is saying all the non-Jews have to keep the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach and the Jews have to go and force them. In the same place it says, wait a second, a non-Jew wants to keep mitzvahs? No. Ein manichin ois ala seisam. No, this is not for you. We don't let you do them. V'achinyan ze wepech metziusum kanal. To the point that this is something against their own existence, as mentioned. So, let's stop a second, just a second here. Something very important to mention. The Rebbe is making, it's like putting everything into one bag. I don't know why the Rebbe did this, but the point is like this. We're saying, in chapter 2, so to speak, we're saying there's a relationship of non-Jews with Torah. Yes. What's the relationship? They should be baki, says the Rebbe, should be experts in their seven commandments. Very nice. And this is also a message for Jews, because the Jews have to force the non-Jews, etc., etc. But which mitzvahs we have to force? The seven commandments. Which mitzvahs we don't have to force, says the Rebbe? The rest, so to speak, the whole Torah for Jews, whatever, is not for non-Jews. But when you learn the text of the Rambam is, very, to my humble understanding, is very clear. He says, Shabbos and Torah, no. We do not let the non-Jews do this, whatever it means. We don't let them. And the Rambam continues saying, if the non-Jew wants to keep the rest of the commandments, the rest means no Torah Shabbos, something else. So we don't prevent them from doing it. The Rambam says, in order to receive reward, whatever the reward is, I don't know, but we don't prevent them from doing it. The Rebbe is not saying this. The Rebbe is going in a different direction. I don't know why, but the Rebbe is going in a different direction. The Rebbe is saying, look, there are certain things that are really against the existence of a non-Jew, spiritual at least, spiritually speaking. What are the things that are in the Torah that are against the existence of the non-Jew? So we're talking about Shabbos and Torah. Shabbos and Torah is against their existence. And then we have things that it's a mitzvah. They have to do it. What do they have to do? The seven commandments. But the Rebbe did not talk about the middle line, so to speak, in the Rambam himself. And don't even think, maybe the Rebbe forgot the Rambam. Forget it. No way. He's quoting exactly that page in the Rambam. And he's quoting it word by word. And he's just jumping a few lines. Quoting before that, after that. So you jump lines. What's going on over here? I don't know. But what the Rebbe is saying is, you have to know, don't come to say that Judaism doesn't have anything for non-Jews. No way. And just to connect it to the first chapter, clearly, how do I say this? The world, I don't know, it's not the language of the Maimar, but the world is for Jews and non-Jews, clearly, because there are Jews and non-Jews. And the benefits, so to speak, of the world and the blessings God gives to the world are for Jews and non-Jews. And that's rain, so to speak. The idea of rain. The Rebbe is just going a little bit deeper into, okay, let's go to the Torah part of the world. The rain part, I got it. That's for Jews and non-Jews. What about the Torah part? Okay, so the Rebbe says there are things for Jews and things not for non-Jews also. Gimel, 3. Shoyresh ha'inyan hu. What's the source of all of this? Because in chapter 2, if you see, the beginning says, v'ha'inyan bazeh. The thing is like this. This is like a summary of what the Rebbe is going to explain. And now he's going to explain. Shoyresh ha'inyan hu. What's the source of this? Like, you have things for Jews, things for non-Jews. Explain to me a little bit deeper. This is what he's going to do now. Hinei b'Torah gufa yeshnam beis inyanim. In the Torah itself, you can find two things. Inyan rishon hu. What's the first thing? Shatoira shayeches lo'ilam upoyelet bo. The Torah has a relationship with the world, and it actually affects the world. Kemay markut shabrikus tage barai subara alma. As the Zohar says, God looked into the Torah and created the world. That's one thing in Torah. The relationship with the world, like a concrete, practical relation. Don't steal, don't do, etc. The second thing is, like the Torah is by itself, for itself. This is something hidden from the eyes of anybody. This is a verse in Iyov. And it's interesting, Iyov was a non-Jew, and he's saying, look, the Torah is something very high, very hidden. And another verse from a different place. The Torah is something that generates pleasure on God, and God is looking at the Torah and having pleasure in the Torah. This second idea in Torah, it's something completely beyond, higher than the level of Torah, as the Torah is related to the world and affects the world. That's why David HaMelech was punished because he called the words of the Torah with the word singing, smires, songs. As it's written, smires ayulichukecho. In Psalm also, songs were for me your laws. Why was David punished because he called the Torah songs? The fact that David HaMelech was mishtabeach, he was praising, so to speak, in the moment of his suffering. And which aspect of the Torah was he praising? The fact that the Torah, even a small diktuk means precision in the Torah, all the world and all the livelihood of the whole world depends on that. Like if the Torah says kosher, one thing happens. If the Torah says non-kosher, something else happens. So the whole world, after all, depends on the Torah. This is deeply explained in Hasidus in many ways, but the point is that when the Torah allows a specific thing, so that means the elevation, spiritual elevation of that thing. And if the Torah says you cannot use it, it means that thing cannot elevate. So one comma, so to speak, in the Torah dictates what's going to happen in the whole world. That's what David HaMelech was saying. Wow. I enjoy this so much. Very nice. However, this has no comparison to what the Torah is by itself. So it's like David HaMelech was leaving the real essence of the Torah and grabbing something secondary and saying, well, the Torah is so great because it's secondary, like this and like that. It's like you have a genius in physics, and you say, because this guy knows how to, whatever, drink water, he's such a smart guy. Really? You don't know how smart he is, the Nobel Prize, whatever, and you're just praising this guy because he knows how to drink water? And that's why he was punished. Same thing happens in the commandments of the Torah. There are two things. The first thing is, just as our sages say, that the Torah was not given, the commandments were not given except for refinement of the creatures. And look at the words, the Rebbe, Bria is Dafke, creatures. It's not even saying Jews, creatures. Hainu, that means, levarer ulezake hafilu eilu shem bris be'alma. And then I'm a word with Tanya. This means that the mitzvahs, the commandments, were given to refine and purify even those who are called just creatures. And the Rebbe says in the parentheses, between parentheses, al derech hamevuar betanya. As it's explained in Tanya in chapter 32, it says, even people that have no merit at all, they're just creatures. God created them. Even to them, you have to love them, etc., etc. So even to them, the Torah can refine them, the mitzvahs can refine them. This is in general the idea, a Kabbalistic idea, Hasidic idea, whatever, of refinement of the world. You have to refine and purify, whatever, the body and the animal soul and your portion of the world. As it's written, as it's written, you have to love God with all your heart. That means with your two inclinations, with good inclination, bad inclination, that even the bad inclination, that means that means a strange God that is inside of you. It's like the Talmudic explanation of the Yetzer Hara. What's the bad inclination? Is barred, even this is barred with dakech sapech le'av es Hashem. This should be refined, clarified, purified, whatever, to the point that it transforms itself to loving God. Like in the regular Yetzer Hara, the regular bad inclination, loves food, loves alcohol, whatever. Each one has his own problems. So that's a regular Yetzer Hara. You should take this power of love and apply it to God. Go love God. Learn to love God. Okay, that's one thing in the mitzvahs. Why do we have commandments? To refine yourself. Don't do this, do that, etc. Okay, that's point number one. What's the second thing in the commandments? This is something similar as to how the commandments will be kept in the future to come. After this promise is kept of God removing the spirit of impurity from the land, from the earth, there will be no bad, no etc. Moshiach. Then the work of mit Torah, study Torah, and mitzvahs, etc., commandments, will not be to refine. There's nothing to refine. Everything is already refined. Will be already refined. So why do we keep mitzvahs? The Rebbe is quoting here the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe. You're going to refine, you're going to unify very mystical things, and etc. Okay, very nice. So again, the first thing of mitzvahs is to refine the world. Just as the first thing of Torah is to affect the world. The second thing of Torah was not to affect the world, but it's Torah by itself. The pleasure of God. The second thing of mitzvahs is also not for the world. No, it's a spiritual thing over there, somewhere, I don't know. And we will move on step by step, b'kedusha gufa, in sanctity itself. Nothing to refine, nothing to grow. There's already everything is refined. Umizden ishtal shel shiyesh gam mitzvahs sheshayachim lumos ha'olam. From this also comes out that there are commandments that have a relationship with the nations of the world. Why? Just as there are two things in Torah, two things in mitzvahs, there are two things, so to speak, in people. This fact that there are commandments that the Torah gives for non-Jews, that comes from the Torah as it is for the world, and the mitzvahs as they are for the world. And there are commandments that are only for Jews. This relates to the Torah mitzvahs as the Torah mitzvahs are for themselves, not for the world. The Rebbe explains even further, beyond the world. That's the level, the spiritual level of the Jewish people. As our sages say, b'minim lach v'nishmasem shel tzadikim. With whom did God consult whether to create the world or not? With the souls of the righteous people. tzaddikim. That means the souls of the Jewish people, etc., etc. So the Rebbe explained, we didn't finish, but the Rebbe explained over here, so again, there are two aspects of Torah, two aspects of mitzvahs, and from these two aspects comes out, so to speak, two messages of Judaism. There's a message for Jews, and there's a message for non-Jews.